Everybody, welcome to Two Off the First for today, November the 9th, 2022. I am Ryan Ballinger. Good to have you here with us. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. We have two topics to talk about today. Really, we'll probably intermingle a third into the show, and we'll bring it all together for you over the last couple of days. Sorry for not doing a show on Monday and Tuesday. I was actually out of town in Atlanta. Flew in on Sunday afternoon to play Atlanta Athletic Club. Both their courses, they have 36 there. They last hosted the KPMG Women's PGA, what was that, last year? And then the 2011 PGA Championship, as you might recall, won by Keegan Bradley. Those were played on the Highlands course, which is the Reese Jones Championship course. The reason it took me to Atlanta Athletic Club is actually the other course, the Riverside course, which is kind of the course that more members tend to favor every day. It was renovated really completely by an architect named Trip Davis. Had a really great time down there getting to spend some time with Trip, spend some time with the members, see what they've worked on. It was a really fun golf course. If you're interested in seeing pictures, you can check me out on Twitter at Ryan Ballinger, or you can follow me on Instagram, same name, Ryan Ballinger. So two topics for today. One kind of dorky, one kind of live related, and then we'll throw in a Tiger piece of it because he makes news anyhow. So we'll start with Sahith Theegala, who is one of the leading players going into this week's Cadence Bank Houston Open. We got four big tournaments on the schedule this week. So we've got Houston, we've got the Pelican Women's Championship on the LPGA, which is their final full field event. It's 120 players of the season. And then they've got the CME Group Tour Championship next week, which is 60 players. And we've got the conclusion of the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs and the Champions Tour season this week with the Charles Schwab Cup Championship. We'll touch on that for a hot second. And then we've got the Nedbank Golf Challenge in South Africa, which is 66 players leading into the top 50 available players who get into the season-ending tour championship next week in Dubai. So we are wrapping things up quickly for the year. And Sahith Theegala is one of the guys playing this week in Houston at Memorial Park. And he was asked ahead of the tournament kind of what he thinks about LIV. And that's obviously a common question. Although right now we're kind of in this period of no more LIV events, at least upcoming. Although they did say, which I kind of caught haphazardly just today. I didn't hear it while it was in Atlanta because I wasn't, frankly, paying too much attention to the news. But heard that Mayakoba plans on hosting a LIV event next year. So that seems to suggest there won't be another Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba event. And we could talk about the fall. Maybe we could touch on that in tomorrow's episode, the future of the fall, based on some conversations I've had in recent days and weeks. But nevertheless, Sahith is in Houston at Memorial Park this week, and he was asked about LIV. And he said, you know, it's kind of made the PGA Tour better in a way. And I don't think he necessarily meant just from a financial standpoint, although he alludes to it. And I'll read you what he said so you can decide for yourself, but more from a competitive standpoint. So he said, quote, "I think no matter what everyone feels about either tour, whatever opinions they have or thoughts they have, I think it affects everyone whether they want to admit it or not. It's great for the players because it's making the tour more competitive and it's better for the players now. There's more opportunity than ever." And he had a great rookie season. Wasn't the winner on the PGA Tour's Rookie of the Year Award. That was Cameron Young, who was phenomenal as well. I mean, unbelievably good, top 20 player in the world now, but had a great year. And now because of that, a lot of people know his name and he has opportunities to go play in some of these better events. Getting into the top 30 gets him into all of the majors next year. Basically, he's got opportunities to play in these 20, 15, 20, $25 million events on the PGA Tour that were just kind of concocted out of thin air because of LIV. So, I mean, the opportunity for him is enormous. So maybe that's through the lens through which he's saying all of this, but he continues and says, "I've said before, the PGA Tour is my focus and obviously grew up wanting to play on the PGA Tour and dreamt of all of that, but I have no problems with other stuff going on. It's just, I think it's been made a little bit bigger deal than most. I mean, it's great for the players. The unfortunate thing is all the top players in the world aren't playing together anymore. Like, we all want to play with Cam and DJ and those guys that are some of the best players in the world. And there's no denying that. So it's unfortunate that the talent pools split a little bit. But I really never give it any other thought than when I'm asked questions about it." And so I think that's probably true. I mean, most of these guys kind of live in their own world. They live in their own bubble. They're just trying to make a living, right? I mean, whether you're paid a bazillion dollars by LIV or you're trying to do it on the PGA Tour or whatever, you're in your own bubble. You're trying to do you. So probably the only times you think about those things are when it's brought to your attention, right? I mean, if Cam Smith and Dustin Johnson are, we'll name a couple of Houston Open champions that went to LIV, Jason Kokrak and Carlos Ortiz, both the players who have won at Memorial Park are now on LIV. And that's kind of been an interesting theme through some of these fall events. Guys who won fall events are now on LIV, which you take it from that what you will. Taylor Gooch, who's going to be the ex-champion after next week of the RSM, won his one and only event in the fall. But nevertheless, that's not to degrade it, but to say that there's just an interesting running theme. Anyway, so Thigala kind of says, you know, but in a way that there's really no guy, no player too big to miss other than obviously like Tiger, maybe Rory to a degree. But even then, I'm not even certain of that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Thigala says, there's just too many good golfers, especially in this day and age, that the next guy up is going to go ahead and fill that spot. And a guy that maybe hasn't had a chance to be that superstar is going to step up into that role because of that. There's just too many good golfers. There's never going to be a lack of star power on the tour. And I absolutely agree with that. And I don't mean that just as a shot at LIV. If you take a look at the top 50 players in the world, and I did this exercise when LIV started signing players. If you look at the top 50 players in the world from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, just look at it. It's available online. You can find it yourself. And you look at who was in the top 50 in the world at the time. I defy you to think of players beyond the all-time greats that you probably remember as being a top 50 player. And there are tons of them that populate the top 50. You're like, man, they really weren't that great in the grand scheme of things. They were incredible players, right? But relative to those all-time peers, they're just another name on a list. And so Thigala has a point here, in my opinion, because he's saying, well, the depth of golf has never been better. And that's absolutely true. And the depth of golf has never been younger and better. So you've got players who are coming out of college, ready to win. They have optimized their swings. They have the best equipment. They have been trained to play tournament golf against high-quality competition. This is nothing new for them once they get to the PGA Tour stage. So they can quickly assert themselves and be great players. Will Zalatoris, Cameron Young, Sahith Thigala, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa. Go down the line of guys currently on the PGA Tour that you didn't even know 3 or 4 years ago. And now they are some of the best players on the tour. Now, obviously, some of that probably has to do a little with LIV. But I still think a lot of this stuff would have happened without it. So you could include a Matthew Wolf, maybe, maybe not, given what his mental struggles that he's been open about. Cam Smith's probably there, given the 2021 that he had and 2022 that he had. So that would make sense too. But I still think at the end of the day, you have a tour that has exceptional depth already at the PGA Tour level. And then right behind it, you've got Korn Ferry Tour grads waiting at the end of every season to get in and make money and make a name for themselves. And one of those guys is Taylor Montgomery, who has been lights out, a top 15 machine since becoming a PGA Tour member. He's one of the longer hitters, and he's one of the better putters. All of a sudden, he's asserted himself as one of the best players. And that's someone who just stepped up into the spot, just like Thigala talked about. So I don't know that LIV has necessarily made the PGA Tour better from a competitive standpoint. As he mentioned, you obviously want some of those big-name players still out there, the ones that are still relevant, still out there and competing with you week to week as often as possible, but that's not there. So the players who have stepped up in their place are great competition as well. Obviously, they're not multi-time major winners or anything like that, but they are great players, and they're going to establish themselves. And I think that takes the tour in an interesting direction. Then a little bit of a youth movement, almost by force. And I think that is a bit of a contrast with LIV that has more established players by and large as part of their roster, because that's kind of the point. How do you get players to join your tour other than Eugenio Lopez, maybe? He won one event for them. So you don't really have budding young superstars quite yet on that tour. And I don't know at what point you do, other than by poaching them from the PGA Tour. So that'll be an interesting contrast, perhaps moving forward. But I think that was a really salient point Thigala made, that, look, the reality is there's always another great player. There's always another person willing to step up. And case in point for Maya Koba last week, Russell Henley had not won a tournament in 5 years. and he was one of the most consistent gainers of strokes on the PGA Tour in the last three, and he finally got the job done. It is hard to win, but there are a lot of, because there are so many great players out there, and it takes a guy like Russell Henley 5 years to get another win after being so consistent, so solid week to week. It is that hard to win out there. And it doesn't matter what tour you're on. At this level of golf, winning is extremely, extremely difficult. And you can't take that for granted. And that's a little bit of a segue into Korn Ferry Tour Q School, which we'll touch on briefly here. 44 players got status at the end of Q School, which is at the Landings Club in Savannah, Georgia. Bo Hoag was a medalist, won by a shot, gets him exempt status through the entire season. Played on the PGA Tour a bunch of in the last couple of years, but now has that exempt status on the Korn Ferry, which will now offer 30 points or 30 cards next year through a point system. No more Korn Ferry Tour finals. That's done as we knew it for those, 8-9 years that we had it. That's gone. So now it's top 30 players get into the PGA Tour at the end of their season. So he's got coverage all the way through, which is huge because there are reshuffles, what's called a reshuffle on the Korn Ferry Tour every four events. And that's based on points earned. So if you have a bad four starts, you can get kicked to the curb pretty quickly. And that can mean decimating series of events in that you have a hard time getting into Korn Ferry Tour events. You have then probably to think about the possibility of Q School, which on the bright side, next year will offer PGA Tour spots, some of them, but just a few, to the top finishers. So there will be a little bit more incentive to play Q School next year. But if you have like the players who finish in the top 40 in ties, they got at least 8 guaranteed starts. So you're getting at least a third of the way through the schedule with time to try to build up points, build up money, be able to comfortably continue throughout the rest of the schedule. Players who finish top 10 outside the medalist, they got 12 starts, so you go through 3 reshuffles. That's fundamentally half the season to give yourself a chance, at least half the regular season, give yourself a chance. Then you get in that 4-event final series, which is expanded from 3 to 4, and that makes all sense. But if you look down the list of names who got some kind of status, a bunch of guys who were on the PGA Tour, a bunch of guys who were prospects, bunch of guys who have won on the Korn Ferry Tour and then fell in hard times. You got someone, Willie Mack III, who's coming from the APGA, has got himself 8 starts, has developed into a really good player, having that experience of playing PGA Tour events, Korn Ferry Tour events, much more comfortable in those pressure-packed situations. And obviously the APGA prepared him for that too. Really cool story for him to have 8 guaranteed starts. I hope he crushes it. I think it would be great, great stuff for golf for that to happen. But you've got that on that end of those players are really, really good. They're amazing golfers. They're just not quite on the PGA Tour level, but they could step up in one season, 1.5 years. You could be a top 20, top 50 player, whatever that metric is, just by catching fever, just by getting hot. And it's totally possible. On the exact opposite end of that, you've got Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy are going to do a match, the extension of the match series against Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. They're going to get paid a whole ton of money to be able to do that. They're going to make a ton of money. They're going to get a money donation to charity with corporate sponsorship and all that stuff. So there's a lot going on there. That's the upper echelon. Those are the guys who get paid just to show up because they are that good and they are that famous and they move the needle that much. And Tiger's going to win the PIP. He's going to collect the PIP, even though he played, 3 tournaments this year, 4 tournaments this year. He's going to play the Hero World Challenge. He did announce that today on his social media channels. He is going to round out the field of 20 at Albany in the Bahamas with Tommy Fleetwood and Kevin Kisner. Very strong field, typically is for that tournament, but that'll be his first start since July when he missed the cut at the Open Championship, 78, 75, something like that. He hasn't played a whole lot of competitive golf this year, obviously, but he's going to play in that event as the warm-up to this match at Pelican Golf Club in Florida, Tampa area. That will be December the 10th, under the lights. I think that'll be fun. Love the under the lights golf stuff. And then I'm not sure if he's going to play in the PNC Championship. My guess is he will, because I think that he really likes playing with his son, Charlie, and they do well in it. And I think Charlie likes playing in it, obviously. So I think that will be a good experience there. But just to try to tie it all together into one salient topic, since the show is called Two of the First, wanted to kind of make that all, see if it can make sense. The other thing I want to talk about is actually a little bit golf nerdy. Some interesting changes to the rules of golf. So every 4 years, the USGA and the RNA get together and they issue a new edition of the rules of golf. They update some rules, they take some out, they bring some back, as you'll see in some of the stuff we're going to go over here. And this is a setup to some potential huge announcements on the equipment rules around golf. There is a lot of smoke here that the USGA and the RNA are going to come down and limit technology at the highest levels of the game, professionals, high-level amateurs, and they're not going to be able to play the same kind of equipment that you and I are able to play and will be able to play moving forward. They want to make it more difficult. They want to make the equipment perform not as well. They want to increase the variability of poor shots and get towards something probably more like the 90s than 2020s. It'll be very interesting to see what that happens and what that looks like and what that framework is and what the timeline for implementation is. That's a whole other fight. The rules of golf are separate. They're doing their duty here. This is something you do every 4 years and get that out there. 2019 was a big change in the rule book. Lots and lots of things changed. Time for search, terms we use, whether we use tie, general area, all that stuff, what hazards were called, whether you could ground your club in a hazard, how you took relief from certain things. That was a lot of stuff in 2019. Not so many things happening in the 2023 edition, but some of them are interesting and some of them are actually meaningful. So one really cool thing about the 2019 or the 2023 iteration of the rules is that it will now include all of the modifications needed for the rules of golf for players with disabilities. That was kind of a local rule previously in the rules of golf. And that 25th rule now, so they went from 34 to 24, which was a big change in the nomenclature of the rules. But now there's going to be a 25th rule, and that rule will be the modified rules for players with disabilities. It used to be separate from the rules of golf, as I mentioned. It used to be considered a local rule and could be applied by a committee running a tournament. Now that will be its own rule. All the modifications will be under one rule, and it'll all be allowed automatically in the rules of golf for anyone who qualifies for modifications based on disabilities, which I think is great. I think it's important, including that U.S. Disabled Open that they started and creating all of that stuff, the Adaptive Open that the USGA presented for the first time this year, Pinehurst. That's a huge step, and I think that's a really important step to welcoming lots of different types of people to golf, including people who don't necessarily have the physical capability to do the same things you and I take for granted maybe every day. So that was really nice to see. Another change is, again, a little bit of a wonky thing, I guess, but starting in 2023, you will no longer have to have your correct handicap written on your scorecard. I know that sounds really silly. You used to have to do that. And because of the World Handicap System, more people are entering scores and you no longer have to have that on there because a lot of tournaments and clubs and all that stuff for competitions can just go online and verify your handicap. So you don't necessarily have to write it down there anymore. They'll be able to find it for you if you're in the World Handicap System. And that means there's a little less burden on the player to kind of maybe sandbag and lie. And if you write an incorrect scorecard or handicap on your scorecard, you're no longer penalized for that. Now, this is an interesting thing. This is the rule that most interested me in terms of the changes. Replacing damaged clubs. So in 2019, when the big rules overhaul happened, the rule was changed to read, a player normally must not replace a club damaged during, around, or while play is stopped, except in limited cases. And so there were changes where if you damaged a club during the normal course of play, all of a sudden you actually couldn't replace your club. And so that created some difficulty because it used to be okay. So they kind of brought that back. So they have changed this wording of this rule to now read, except in cases of abuse, a player may repair or replace any damaged club with another club. So if for whatever reason you crack a driver, iron head falls off, whatever, you can replace it with another club. Doesn't have to be the exact same one, you can replace it. What you could replace pieces of equipment with was very kind of hard to understand under the 2019 ruling. That's changed. And yes, you can replace the club, but you have to do so without unduly delaying play, which that's something that actually came up in the 2019 rules. And that language is used in there. So that still applies. But you can't just like go and drive off for 20 minutes to your car, come back later and resume the round. It's got to be quick. And you can do it maybe at the turn, or if you could go get someone to go get it for you, that kind of thing. But that is something that matters. Now, new exception in the rules this is long due and really came out of the 2019 Phoenix Open with Ricky Fowler. So the Phoenix Open 2019, I mean, Fowler is trying to close out this win and just really difficult circumstances for him. So he chips a ball over the 11th green, goes over the hole, down the hill, into the water. Fowler then dropped outside the hazard onto a steep hill. And while preparing to hit that next shot, his ball rolled back into the hazard. Well, under the rules of golf, once the ball is in play, it's in play, which means he incurred another penalty, had to fish the ball out of the water, take a drop, make sure it didn't go in the water again. That will no longer be the case. So you can replace the ball if you are basically dropping, placing, or replacing the ball after it comes to rest. So if it rolls out of bounds, rolls into a hazard, you can then replace the ball where it belongs. And this was the right thing to do. This was something that what immediately came up again, right after the rules of 2019 were updated. Really, it's the right thing. And I'm glad that they did it. It's always, probably every human being who's ever played golf plays that way. And it's good that it's now codified the rules. All right, last other change in the rules to bring up for today's show. And that is, this is a quick one. Back on the line relief procedure. So basically, when you're in a penalty area or taking an unplayable, they're now making it easier and simplifying how you take the drop. So the player will drop the ball on the line and the player has to then come have that ball drop within one club length of where it's dropped. So you can have a bunch of different options here. And this really applies particularly to like an unplayable situation, but you have more options. So when you take an unplayable lie or in a yellow hazard, for example, you can go back as far as you want back on the line in which it went in. And then you can take back of the line relief by dropping a ball behind the spot of the original ball, keeping the spot of the original ball between the hole and the spot on which the ball is dropped. So that they've kind of made that a little simpler drop procedure. It's not a huge deal. I think the ball rolling in the water piece of it is nice, and the opportunity to replace or repair clubs, having that come back, is really nice. So some interesting changes there if you're a competitive golfer. If you're someone who just plays on the weekend, probably none of this applied to you and you just wanted to do what you wanted to do to begin with. And I'm totally cool with that. But it's interesting to kind of see these bodies come together and think about the rules that need changing. And this is what the outcome was, the big changes from 4 years worth of work for these rules committees. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for watching or listening. If we are being listened to on a podcast service by you, we appreciate it, first of all. But second, if you would give us a 5-star review, that helps out. You listen to us on GNN Radio, on TuneIn. Very much appreciated. Available on iHeartRadio. We'll let you know as soon as it's done. And then if you're watching us on YouTube, very much appreciated as well. Again, sorry for the delay the last couple days. We will have a new show tomorrow for you. I'm going to be a bachelor all weekend, so you're going to get plenty of my mug here on 2 off the 1st. And looking forward to a great week of golf. We will talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Have a good one.